Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Caps are back home and in action tonight as they debut a brand new forward who they picked up yesterday at the trade deadline. Talked to J.J. Reagan about that on the Blitz. Wizards got a win over the team with the best record in the NBA last night. Wes Hall covering that in moments. But why don't we start with a Nets team that snapped a five-game skid as they got some reinforcements back yesterday. It is time to go around D.C., talk about the teams you care about on Grant and Danny here on the Beltway Blitz. Maria Torres of The Athletic covers the Washington Nationals, joins us after they snapped that skid. They got a win. It's amazing, Maria, just how different this offense, this lineup looked after they got Bell, Schwarber, and Harrison back with Yan Gomes last night.
Yeah, it sure did. I mean, it got things going off quickly. I mean, Victor Robles got on base. A couple of batters later, Soto got on base and knocked him in. The Cardinals didn't pitch around him. It was good to see. That's what the Nationals had, you know, planned to have their lineup look like all spring training.
Well, yeah, the lineup was awesome, Maria. I mean, they only ended up with five runs, but had tons of chances. But to me, the story is Eric Fetty wasn't horrible. Like, giving him a chance to win is not something I'm counting on most more often than not. And he was pretty good. I know 4 2/3 isn't, you know, I'm not writing home to tell my father I saw the greatest pitcher performance ever. But by his standards, that's important. And if you're not just going to fall off a cliff when it's not the big three, that's a major development, huh?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too. I mean, yes, like you said, you kind of just expect Eric Fetty to, like, at least give the Nationals some innings. Whether they're effective innings is always hard to say. But, though, yesterday, he seemed to kind of get things on track. His fastball was really working. Some of his breaking stuff was also he could also locate that in the zone. It was a big change from the previous week when he couldn't make it through two innings. So that performance and the performance of the rest of the bullpen really, really stood out as well yesterday.
4 1/3 innings of one-run ball for that bullpen. Maria Torres covers the Nats for The Athletic. Talking about the pen, I loved Hudson in the eighth, and Hand was great in the ninth despite being squeezed by the home plate umpire. I am very worried about Tanner Rainey,
concerned,
though. What are they saying about Rainey, whose velo is down, and he's just missing in the middle of the plate pretty consistently?
They've been saying the same thing about Rainey since spring training, and since he made his spring training debut kind of late. Essentially, the gist of the Nationals' belief here is that Rainey needs a couple of weeks kind of to get his velocity back. It's how he was apparently last year. As you guys know, I didn't cover the team last year, so I wasn't aware of his velocity struggles at the beginning of the season, but that's kind of what they saw last year, and they assume the same trend is the case this year.
You don't know good Tanner Rainey? We can tell you. He used to be really good,
it's fun.
Maria.
He throws hard.
99-mile-an-hour wipeout slider.
Good
looks like
strut.
A future closer. Tanner Rainey is a fun Tanner Rainey to cover.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't gotten the chance to see him. but you know, but one encouraging thing from that outing yesterday was the fact that he was able to, you know, when his fastball really wasn't working for him, he was able to go to his breaking stuff to get out of that inning. So I think one thing that'll be really key for him is being able to adjust on the fly. That'll be really important.
Latest on John Lester, his return timetable, et cetera. Still haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, Lester was cleared to join the team on Sunday with the others. However, he was not sent to St. Louis because he still needs to ramp up on the mound. So he is going to be in Fredericksburg at the Nationals alternate site for a little bit. The Nationals plan for him to throw a bullpen and then throw in either an inter-squad or simulated game, or I guess they could also play against the Orioles alternate siters as well, if the case were to present itself. They just want to make sure that, you know, he actually gets a couple of innings under his belt before they throw him into a game, especially considering how he was sidelined in spring training because he had to get one of his parathyroids removed. So they're not going to really push him. And I mean, we want to temper expectations. We don't know what things will look like with Fetty going forward. But, you know, there is a little bit of room in the schedule to potentially get away with having another Fetty start and letting Lester lengthen out a little bit more before he makes his season debut.
Maria, great job. Keep up the good work in The Athletic. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Maria Torres covers the Nats for The Athletic. Let's talk about another team that won last night. How about those Wiz? Wes, it's funny to say this because the Jazz have the best record in the NBA and they'd won 24 in a row at home before Washington went to Utah last night. But can the Wiz play the Jazz every night?
Them or Brooklyn?
I'm down for that every night if we can keep the same result, brother. It's a phenomenon, right? They seem to find a way to continue to beat the best teams in the NBA. I'll take it.
Wes, Daniel Gafford. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying the Daniel Gafford era. I don't know where this goes.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like I've done this before where like Bobby Portis is great for 2 weeks or, you know, somebody comes over and it's like a lot of fun. They look great. But all I know is that I enjoy watching that dude jump over people and dunk so hard like he hates the rim. I'm having a really good time. What's his ceiling? What's the future? Make me excited.
Oh, well, first of all, I can work backwards. Make you excited because more is what we want, right? I mean, anything that you enjoy in life, whether it's barbecue or a good beer, you want more of it. Mm-hmm. His ceiling is starting, right? I would love to see him in the starting lineup. Don't know when or if that'll happen. But looking at the way that he plays the game, you can tell that other teams have taken notice. Because now, all of a sudden, instead of just worrying about Robin Lopez or Alex Lynn, they're like, I got to watch out before this Daniel Gafford dude tries to rip the backboard off. So I'm happy about it. Looking forward to seeing what he does against Sacramento. And think about this. When we come home with Zion, you got a dunker on the Pelicans, dunker on the Wiz. It's going down.
27-11 is what his per 36-minute average has been since coming to the Wiz, yeah, with over three blocks in the 36-minute period that you'd extrapolate out while shooting 74%. What about starting him?
I'm down for that. I mean, again, that's really a Coach Brooks decision on that, but I love the excitement that he brings, and especially when you think about Robin Lopez being such an almost mismatch to that second unit defender. I love the fact that it's such a contrast in styles, too, because as you get accustomed to the high-flying antics of Daniel Gafford, then Robin Lopez comes in and slow drags you and hits you with that, not even, what is it, like a floor hook? I don't even want to call it a sky hook. It's more of a floor hook. But yet it goes in every single time. So the pairing of those two, and, of course, with Alex Lynn coming in third, I love what we have here. You know, we got centers by committee. It's good stuff.
Wes, you're very handsome, and you have good outfits on television. I just want to throw that in there. Games like the last couple that Rui has played are what drive me crazy. You could see him aggressive and involved, getting 20, getting, you know, 7-8 rebounds and looking for his offense and being aggressive. And then last night, he's like a ghost. He's just sort of on the court for several minutes at a time. He played 30 minutes last night. And if you just put one of those, like, cardboard cutouts, they probably would end up with 4 points and a turnover and a steal. Like, it drives me crazy when he disappears like that. Just what are your thoughts in general?
I think it just, you know, last night he got caught in the same bag that Denny got caught in, where they both got caught with early foul trouble. And when you kind of take yourself out of the game within that situation, it's hard to get a rhythm going. And then you're kind of seeing the two things that are happening at the same time. One, they get in foul trouble, but then Russ and Brad combined for 59 points last night together. And you can tell that Brad's on a tear for the scoring title, and Russ just keeps chucking up triple doubles left and right. So Rui, a combination of three other people, Rui's going to definitely have to try to find that next gear in his game, because this isn't like last year where they were in the bubble at this time of the season. He's actually going to have to kick in and really lock down moving forward.
Where are we at on the Westbrook Wall trade? I started the show today talking about how we used to get a lot of calls.
Grant's fired up, Wes.
Well, people were just saying, what now? You still think they should have traded Wall for Westbrook? I think it's pretty clear at this point.
Yes.
The Wizards have the better of those two players at this moment.
And there's no shot at John to say that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. You can appreciate both of them for what they bring to the game of basketball. looking at it when we first made the trade, everybody's like, oh, we got head. Russ is washed. You can't do anything. What? What? 5 triple doubles in a row? What? 9 triple doubles out of the last 10? What? 23 on the season? What? Okay, I think I'm good on that deal. I know who I'm rolling with. Anybody got a problem with number 4? Raise your hand. Nobody. Next item of business. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I also, and look, there's something to be said. I believe in efficiency, and there are games where he's not. But number one, he's been way more efficient the last few weeks. Since the break, I think he's been awesome. And maybe more importantly, number two, this sounds, because I'm an analytical numbers guy, so this sounds almost like a cop-out sometimes, but it's real. Like, he is just a horse. I mean, that he's a dog, as the kids say. Like, you want that guy in the foxhole. He's screaming at dudes when they don't catch inbound passes. He's in young guys' faces. That's what I want.
Grant, they're moving lockers because of him. That's how dope he is. They're moving people around in the locker room so that way they can soak up some of what he's got. Hey, Denny, I need you to go sit with Russ for a couple of days. Hey, Rui, it's your turn. That's the type of dude you want in an organization. Like you said, he's a dog. He's a hoss. He's a fighter. And it's such an important thing because he leads by example. If you hear him in the post-game presser, if he has a bad game, nobody's going to tell you first. Russell will tell you that he's having a bad game. If he had a good one, he will do what most good leaders do and show that it's a team effort to be successful. That's the kind of guy you want in your locker room. Find me an old teammate of Russell Westbrook that said he wasn't a great teammate, and I'll find you a liar.
Wes, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Gents, I appreciate it. I'll be good and gussied up on Wednesday.
That's my. He's just so handsome on television. Great, great suits. Let's talk some hockey, please. Double J, J.J. Hardy, Reagan, I'm kidding, of course, covers the Washington Capitals for NBC Sports Washington. J.J., what do you make of the trade yesterday, buddy?
But the more time I get to think about it, the more I like it. It was a steep price. There's no question about it. But first of all, the way people need to not look at it like they traded away 2 players and 2 draft picks to get Anthony Mantha. That's not what they did. They traded away Jacob Vrana, a first and a second, to get Anthony Mantha and to shed themselves of Richard Ponick's contract. It doesn't matter what Richard Ponick can do for Detroit. The fact that the Caps needed to move that contract means that the asset, in terms of just looking at the trade, the asset was actually gotten by the Capitals trading away Ponick's contract. Now, is that still a steep price? Absolutely. But then look at the player. Anthony Mantha, his production is absolutely comparable to Jacob Vrana. They both have the same number of goals this year. Jacob Vrana was clearly butting heads with Peter Laviolette. They were not seeing eye to eye. His body language kept deteriorating. And it's just, okay, if you can get a player who's more physical, who fits probably your physical style of play better than a guy like Jacob Vrana, and you're not going to trade away any of that production, you're still going to get the same amount of production. Okay, that's probably a pretty decent deal that you made for a team that's looking to gear up for a Stanley Cup run. So maybe it's not trading away quite the significant piece that it looked like yesterday of, oh my gosh, they traded away one of their best goal scorers. Well, they should be getting that production back. Like I said, still a very steep price, but I do understand the thinking here from Brian McClellan.
How much better did they get? Quantify that. And then do you agree with what McClellan said on our show yesterday, which is, he is not worried about what is perceived on the outside as a lack of speed. He thinks they're plenty fast enough, and when they're playing their game, speed will not be an issue.
Well, in terms of you want to quantify it, look, they have the same number of goals with Mantha and Vrana, so they should produce about the same. Now, Jacob Vrana was second on the team in 5-on-5 goals, so you did trade away a significant piece. But they are confident that they're going to get that back from Mantha. Plus, you know, this may mean bigger roles for guys like Daniel Sprong, who is basically Jacob Vrana Light. So I think ultimately if Anthony Mantha does fit their system better, and he should because they like to play a heavy style play, and the 6'5 Mantha, he's not a Tom Wilson. He's not going to barrel people over, but he is tough to get off the puck. He does go in front of the net. So they should be conceivably better. Let's see. What was the second part of your question there?
Second part was just the speed issue, and if it is one.
Got it. So the speed. The speed is only an issue when the Capitals get caught playing other team styles of play. They have the way that you combat speed if you're a physical team You hit them all the time to slow them down. You slow them with a heavy forecheck. You slow down everything they want to do. You slow down their progression up the ice by hitting them at every conceivable moment. That is just how you combat that fast style of play. And you can do that. That is successful, and they've been successful doing it this year. It's when they get into back and forth games where they're trading these chances, where they're trying to – where – you know, the Rangers go down the ice and then the Caps can't counter and they go down the ice and the Rangers counter again. That's when you're trading those chances. That's when they get into trouble. So as long as the Capitals can establish the way they play, establish their game plan, and not get caught up in how the other team wants to play, then McClellan is right. Speed should not be an issue. We've seen that work both ways, but they have to establish their game. This gives them an identity. And I think if they play to that, they should be okay.
Former professional wrestler Jeff Jarrett Reagan, quick one. Are you surprised they didn't go get a goalie?
No, I don't think that the options were really there. And if you want just a warm body with veteran experience, you have that in Greg Anderson. So it didn't make sense to trade away a roster player, which they would have had to do because they had no cap space, to get a guy like that and then shuffle up their goaltending. So I was not surprised.
All right, last one. This has nothing to do with the actual Capitals. Yesterday, Danny, this guy who was being very nice, and I love this guy. I don't know who he was, but I loved him. He tweeted like a bunch of the beat writers, including JJ and Tarek.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just have to thank all the people putting their blood, sweat, and tears into deadline day, grinding through the day.
Whoa.
And it was like Tarek and Samantha Pell and JJ and me. I was on.
You're the same.
They're doing actual calls, and they're like trying to find things out. And this guy just put me on the chain. How annoyed were you by that, JJ?
I got a good laugh at it. I'm not going to lie.
You're annoyed.
If that becomes a thing where everyone thinks that you're one of the beat writers, I'll be annoyed. But, you know, one guy out there, it's kind of funny.
I remember when I was on the beat and people used to do that, they would be like, I just want to shout out my favorite beat writers. And it would be like me and Kime and someone else. And that was like very flattering. And then there'd be some random person on there who I'd never heard of or never seen, who was just like had their own blog or something. And it wasn't like I was mad about it, but I was like, kind of dings the compliment a little bit. Just a little bit.
Come on, man.
So.
Well, thank you for your coverage. We appreciate it.
No, honestly, I'm just glad to have worked alongside you yesterday.
Right.
Rubbing elbows grind with you all day long.
Such a grind checking that Twitter.
I'll see you out at the Iceplex tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
He didn't get the joke. I clearly will not be there tomorrow because I'm not on the beat.
Right.
But that guy, whoever you were, thank you. That was very sweet.
That's funny.
It really did mean a lot to me. I thought that was great. Grant and Danny on the Fin. Your Beltway Blitz every day at 4 gets you up to speed on the teams you care the most about. We're overdue to talk about the draft. It's only a couple of weeks away.
Dude.
Jumping up on us at the end of April. What is your number one plan with the 19th pick for the Washington football team? What is your backup plan? We'll get into that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll be right back. Mel Kiper on ESPN today. His fourth mock draft has been released, so he's all over the place. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, presented by BetQL. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. His delivery gets me fired up.
Every time.
For the draft. It takes me back to being 7 years old, and it's the run-on sentence that never ends where he pivots to another thought while dragging out a word. He could go second, but then there's the Washington football team. That gets me ready and going for the draft.
It's you ask him one question, 17 minutes later, he's Christian Darrisaw, try block Virginia Tech. Got to remember J.C. Horn as well. Michael Parsons, a football player. Kadarius Toney can start talking about the Patriots, the Jets. Bought it much deep, could trade up with the ammo, Greeny. And Greeny's like, and then there's another 20 minutes because he's just going through everybody.
So one of the things you heard in that answer, though, from Kiper, and it's something that is becoming very prevalent with all the draft experts. He said the top three is set.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to believe that just
Come
yet.
Come on, believe it.
But here is what he means by that.
Yeah.
We know the top two is set.
Uh-huh.
Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson, goes to Jacksonville at number one.
Uh-huh.
Jags fans are buying up Trevor Lawrence's wedding registry presents.
Rightfully so.
Because he's about to be their new quarterback. Wouldn't that be hilarious if you all the Jags fans buy up all of his wedding registry presents for he and his fiance that are about to get married, and then he ends up not being there somehow. But he'll be a Jaguar. The Jets are taking my guy Zach Wilson, number two, out of BYU. Number three, most of us kind of feel like we're not sure yet what San Francisco's doing. Adam Schefter is confident that they're taking Mac Jones. Adam Schefter's got a high batting average. Not to throw shade at Ian Rapoport, who's a great reporter and mm-hmm. you know gets a lot right. Ian Rapoport also swings and misses some.
Sure.
Hits a lot of home runs, strikes out here and there.
Is Adam Dunn?
Rap sheet, a little bit more swing and miss rate than Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
Schefter doesn't swing and miss a whole lot, and he's going hard with Mac Jones to the 49ers. Kiper, who gets a lot of things right around draft time as well, steps his game up. He's hearing that's a done deal he's acting like. Mac Jones to San Francisco, they traded all the way up to three to take Alabama's quarterback.
Your hand's hovering over the buzzer. You either hit the buzzer that you buy that it's happening, or you leave your hand off the buzzer. You hitting it?
I have to buy it right now.
Dude, I've been in.
Schefter.
I've been in.
And Kiper aren't making something up.
Ryan Wilson's been all over it, too. He's coming on later.
Ryan Wilson will be on the show at 6, CBS Sports Draft Expert. Can I pitch a la Eric Fetty last night?
Hello.
Who threw two no-hit innings. This at you.
That's our bar, by the way.
That is our bar. You almost had to do a lot of stuff.
I was really close to having to do a lot of stuff.
He took a no-hitter into the late innings of his start.
And into the third inning. Halfway through his start.
Is it possible that I can say, right now I'm buying Mac Jones to San Francisco, but they don't actually know? They're leaning Mac Jones, but they might change their mind as they're around Lance Moore or when they watch the Justin Fields Pro Day that was created just for them. Or you know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you like, you basically want to put it in pencil.
100%. I want to put in pencil 49ers Mac Jones. I'm not ready to put it in Sharpie just yet.
I'm gonna hand you Sharpie.
I'm not putting.
You got to sign
Sharpie.
Your name.
I'm not doing it.
You got a blank space, baby, Taylor Swift style, where it says that you're a buyer.
That's a banger.
Into this, that you believe Mac Jones is going three. Are you ready to sign your name?
I'm not signing it.
Sign that name.
Not doing it.
Grant H. Little period. Paulson.
Pencil. Hand me a pencil. Mechanical pencil.
I don't have one.
I'll do the little thing where you can hear it click, 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 click. I'll do that.
I got a Sharpie. I'm writing it down.
Kiper's got the Dolphins and the Falcons making a trade at number four. This was crazy. Miami goes up to four to take Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. He's got the Bengals staying put at five and taking Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon.
What a boon that would be for them, right? You got your quarterback already. You don't have to do anything. And you get the maybe the second best player in the draft.
That's going to happen. I mean, unless they go in a different direction, I would be shocked if he's not there. The top three picks are QBs, probably the top four. There's no way I don't think Sewell goes before.
So if Atlanta stays at four, right, if they don't make a trade, Sewell may be there? I don't know what Atlanta's line situation is. Yeah, not in my head.
I haven't seen that anywhere, really. I guess it's possible. I think quarterback's an option.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, I could see them going with a weapon for Matt Ryan.
Yep.
They move back in this mock to 6, and they take Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. So if you want Washington to go up and get Trey Lance in the top 10, according to Kuiper, that would mean going up to 6 or even higher, maybe as high as 5. They wanted to flip with the Bengals if Cincy would be willing to come back. Ja'Marr Chase, best wide receiver in the class out of LSU to the Lions at 7. Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith, 8 to Carolina. Here's why I like that a lot. There's more and more mocks now that have the Eagles getting Devontae Smith from Alabama outside of the top 10. I don't want to deal with that guy.
I don't want that. Mm-mm.
I don't want Jalen Waddle going Mm-mm. to the division. I think Mm-mm. he will, by the way. I think he goes to the Giants around 11. That's what Kuiper had.
Yeah.
I don't want any of those wide receivers in the East if I can avoid it. I'll deal with Patrick Surtain or some great defensive back, but I don't want to have to defend Devontae Smith for the next 10 years. So if you're wondering, what does Mel Kuiper have Washington doing at number 19? He's got him taking my boy, Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoah, the linebacker from Notre Dame. His write-up, Washington could go a few different ways here, including offensive line or wide receiver. I like the fit of Owosu-Koramoah, though, as a three-down off-ball linebacker with cover skills. He's extremely versatile. He lined up as a slot corner for the Fighting Irish at times last season. He's fast. He must improve as a tackler, but he should slot in as an instant impact player for a defense that is already one of the league's best. He's got him going linebacker there. I love this player. I love him more as a player than I do as a fit for Washington.
Hmm.
He is a playmaker, gets into the backfield and blows up pitches, and he's always around the football. And I think at the next level, he will make a lot of plays. He's the guy on NFL Red Zone you're going to see a few times a season scoring a touchdown or doing something to make a big game-changing play. My concern would be slightly a redundant version of what they have a little bit. He can fly. He can run. He plays linebacker. But there is some Cam Curl here in the sense of, you know, Curl was like a hybrid last year, and they used him in the nickel. Landon Collins is already a safety that's kind of got to be in the box.
He's almost linebackery. That's where Collins is.
Exactly.
In passing downs, yeah.
So if you're going linebacker, I'd love you to take a more traditional linebacker, less of a tweener, less of a guy who is kind of a jack-of-all-trades type. But if I find out they take Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoah, I will be thrilled, because watching him a bunch on NBC last year at Notre Dame, I fell in love with this player. He is really, really good.
So I like the coverage linebacker. The days of the Jeremiah Trotter downhill, I can stop the running back in the hole. I don't know why I gave
London
that.
London Fletcher?
Yeah, I don't know why I gave that voice.
That sounds just like Jeremiah Trotter.
Yeah, it's very similar. I have no interest in that. I don't care about that. I need you to be able to cover the really fast running backs. I need you to be able to stop the guys that are on your own roster. I need you to be able to stop Antonio Gibson in space. I need you to be able to stop J.D. McKissick when he flanks out. I want you to be able to deal with people in space. Can you cover tight ends for within a millisecond? Can we have a game where Zach Ertz doesn't have 10 catches, for example? Wouldn't that be nice? Could you imagine playing a tight end that doesn't tear us a new one? That'd be really, really fun. I would enjoy that pick if he was there. That, to me, is a deployment issue with Jack Del Rio and company. Figure out really talented players, what they can do for you, right? And I think that's something that he did really well last year.
This is a very talented linebacker group in the first round. Now, I do believe that the majority of the debate is less maybe about which linebackers are worthy of going at 19 and more about, is that the position you're going to address?
Yeah.
Do you want to get another weapon on offense? Do you want to take a left tackle? I mean, the way that a lot of these mocks are working right now, you referenced this name earlier, Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech could very well be available at number 19, and I don't think that's an overdraft at all. There's a couple of other tackles that are expected to go in that range. Taven Jenkins from Oklahoma State is expected to be in the top 20 or 21. Elijah Vera Tucker, the tackle and guard at USC, who's pretty versatile, is expected to go in the top 20. If they want to go tackle, they're going to have options there too.
Yeah.
So the question really is, what do they want to prioritize? You know, what do they want to sink their teeth into with that first pick? What's a bigger priority? What's a bigger need? And then what do you have on your to-do list come round two? Let's answer these questions next. Number one priority and your plan. Like, what is it that you go into the first round hoping to do if you're Washington? 800-636-1067. And then what is your backup plan? If that, for some reason, doesn't work out, you can't get fill in the blank, what's your plan B? 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. We'll hit your calls next. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. We are 16 days away from the NFL draft. NBC broadcast of a Notre Dame game this year. Mike Tirico, Tony Dungy, the voices you just heard. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. 5 at 5 in 15 minutes. Next hour, we're going to get into how much better you feel about the Nats after a game where they had their entire roster together and won, snapping a 5-game losing streak. Also want to discuss whether what Brian McClellan told us yesterday is something worth buying or selling on. Max saying, speed's not an issue. We're plenty fast enough. So we'll get into those things next hour on Grant and Danny. Danny, your number one plan, plan A for you, number 19, first round, you're running the Washington football team. Things fall the way you want them to is what at round one?
Offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw. Come on down, be my bookend. Won't you be my bookend? Won't you protect my quarterback for a decade? Yes, please. That's what I want. I'm hoping that he is available. If it's not him, it's Rashawn Slater. If it's not him, maybe Elijah Vera Tucker. I'm a little not as familiar with him. I have to do a little bit more research to make sure that he's up to snuff. That's what I want. I want one of those three offensive tackles, not named Penei Sewell, to fall to the Washington football team because everyone else went in a different direction. I want the second best left tackle in the draft to be my bookend. I really do think a lot of what they did by design last year, getting rid of the football quickly, was yes, by design, but I think a lot more was out of necessity. I think if they had a really good left tackle, they'd feel more comfortable calling longer developing plays, get some chunk yards, make things easier for this team on offense. I think it'll unlock a lot of things.
I'll go linebacker, and any of the top three or four guys at that position would make me happy. If they take Owosu-Koramoah, I'm going to be pumped. He is the pick at number 19 in the mock draft released today by Mel Kiper. What about your secondary plan if number one isn't an option for you?
Linebacker. You just touched on it.
So we're going to kind of go inverse
we'll
one another.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Again, it just all depends how it shakes out, right? But there are guys that I think are, you know, that sort of borderline first, second round value, whether it's Zaven Collins, a kid out of Tulsa who can really fly, or the linebacker from Georgia whose name I really struggle to say. Aziz is his first name. The last name I have a lot of problems saying. I think he's pretty good as well. But there are a number of guys, depending on how this thing shakes out, where you're going to get either linebacker 2 or 3 or tackle 2 or 3, I think at 19. Just when you do some of the math, when you think about the wide receivers that are going to go, the top level safeties, all the quarterbacks, you do it up and you go at 19, you might have one of these guys.
I like Darrisaw a lot, and addressing tackles is important. I think they can get by. I liked Cornelius Lucas last year. I'd like to do better than that, though. So if they stay put, Darrisaw's there, take that pick. I'd be perfectly fine, very happy with that. That'd be a B+, A- type first-round grade for me. Addressing a major need, getting a guy that theoretically should be a slam dunk, I would imagine, in the middle of the first round. A DC Dude 202 on Twitter tweeted us, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. He said, is plan A, trade up to number 4 and draft Trey Lance.
It's not a bad plan A, dude.
That is... You're giving up a lot.
That's a lot.
You know how I feel. You give up that much, you better know. They can't be your normal crapshoot. And with his level of competition and the limited film on him, I think it's more of a crapshoot than a normal quarterback in the first round is. He's played so little. That's a lot for trading up into the top 5. If they picked at 4 and took him, I would love that. But to give up what they're going to, I'll support that. I mean, if you fall in love with a guy, go get him. Quarterback is pertinent. It's just hard for me. With that little experience.
But I like the bold strategy.
Plan B, he says, trade up to 6 to 9 to get Jalen Waddle, wide receiver in the top 10. That would be aggressive. I after allocating money to Samuel with a big deal coming up for McLaurin, I'm not trading up a bunch of spots to take a wide
I'm not out. Doing that. I'll do it for a quarterback, but not for that.
Yeah, Julio Jones style. No thanks. Plan C, take the best available tackle at 19. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kev?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, well, Grant and Danny, you all have known for a while I've had a man crush on Trey Lance ever since I came back from the JMU National Championship game where he was the most dominant player I've ever seen play. in a championship game at the FCS level. He was just so clutch and so dominant. And I just think his ceiling is so high. And so I'm moving heaven and earth to trade up. I hope I don't have to go as high as 4. Hope I could go up to 7, let's say. But that's my priority number one. I think you can't keep kicking the can down the road about finding the future long-term starter, franchise quarterback for the Washington football team. I don't believe it's Heinicke because of his injury issues. And that's why I think we've got to take a swing. And this kid, I just have had a feeling about him for a long time. I'm willing to run the risk. I remember Steve McNair came out of Alcorn State. You know, Carson Wentz came out of NDSU. I mean, you can make the leap if you're special.
There's no doubt Thanks, about buddy. That. And I absolutely think he could be great. The best thing for him if he went to Washington would be that he'd have a year to sit there probably.
That would be the apprenticeship, right?
Now, if you program. Trade up and take him in the top 5 or so, it's very hard not to play those guys right away, let alone in the first season. But Ryan Fitzpatrick getting about $12 million makes it doable for the football team to say, Lance is going to redshirt. He only played X number of games in college. We're taking our time with him. Let's go to Kevin in Centerville on the Fan. Hey, Kevin.
A lot of Kevins.
Hey, boys. Yeah, a lot of Kevins today. Danny, you and I are pretty much right in line. Left tackle is the second most important position on the football field. You'll hear a lot of coaches say that. I've seen Darrisaw come off the board for a lot of mocks to either the Vikings or the Chargers. And so Tevin Jenkins is your next best sitting there. I don't think that you should use the draft capital on him. If Owusu-Koramoah is sitting there, absolutely select him because he is kind of that next wave of what you're expecting in an NFL linebacker. But you touched on Zaven Collins. 6'4", 260, ran a 4.67 in his 40. He's a player that when you watch his film, he is the best player on the field in any given game, period, in college. And so if you put him in and you're looking for a guy that's built like Ryan Kerrigan but moves faster, that's your guy. And I think that he would be a great selection.
Yeah, I'd be steamed up. But I want a playmaking defensive player, period. That's got to be the strength. I know that their offense will be better, Danny, but their defense is going to have to carry them this season. Don't be okay being good. Try to get great on defense.
I don't hate that philosophy. I mean, my thing is your offense has to get so much better to be acceptable. And I think they've made major strides. I think Fitzpatrick will help. I think Samuel will help. And I think development will help. And that's kind of what I'm basically focused on. I'm basically saying right now my defense is good enough to win some football games. The offense was unacceptable last year, and they still managed to be 7-9. Your point, though, is looking at the same coin and looking at the other side of it, saying, well, here's what I can major in. I could be special on defense, whereas I'm going, I'm unacceptable on offense. I just can't do anything until that's fixed. There's like a hole in the wall. And you're basically saying, well, the other wing of my house could be awesome. I get it. It's different approaches.
Nat's lineup for tonight against the Cardinals is out. There is one surprise. We will get to that as part of our 5 at 5, 5 stories you care about in and around town, next on GND.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.